Our young people are back from camp, and they are the ones who went to camp this week. You should really be proud of them. Above and beyond normal reasons, the older ones traditionally stay up the whole final night of camp, and I think just about all of them came back sick this week from camp. So being that far behind on sleep and not being at your best, our young people are back and they're full of God. And it was a great week of camp, I'm told. Last week, if you were not here last week, Xander Brewer was baptized into Christ. And then Friday night of camp, Joel Hendricks and our youngest Abby were baptized. And so it's exciting. It's exciting. Absolutely. We celebrate together. Reminder, tomorrow night is Monday night for the Master, and if you plan to come but did not turn in a card, go ahead and fill one out. You can give that to one of the elders, give that to me, and we'll get those where they need to go. We can use extra help tomorrow night. There are always things to do. We can use extra help with a service group, and so we look forward to a night together serving God. When I talk to people and invite them to come to worship here, I routinely will tell them that this church, this congregation, is the most loving and caring group of people I've ever been around. And that's true. I mean that. The most loving and caring. And so you continue to do that. And you continue to be. This is a church that gives. This is a generous church that serves and gives in many ways. I want to brag and also mention what the college group, the Cottings and the college group have done in the 4 year, an opportunity, another opportunity to shine. And it's an apple tree, and it has apples that you can take off of that tree and go purchase those items to bless our teachers. We have an elementary school that is just two blocks away. It's very close. And of course, our very own Karen Biggs is the principal over there. We have a connection with that school and have historically, and we want to more and more. So it's church, it's a great opportunity for us to continue to show we love Christ and we love our community, and we serve and give to others. So be sure and be thinking about that. If you have any questions, check with the Cottings on that, and there's information in the bulletin as well. Turn to James 4:13. James chapter 4:13. Someone once said, if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans. We are planners, aren't we? We are planners. You just have to. And some of you are champion planners, but God has a different plan. Things don't always go the way we want them to. We have a scripture in James that says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade, make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. That's quite a statement. All such boasting is evil. You know how many people say, well, we're going to do this or that and the other. And we don't think that's evil. We don't think about it. But this verse reminds us, we need to have a mindset. We're not in charge. We have an almighty creator who's in charge. And we do make plans, but you can't count on your next breath. We don't know when Jesus will come again. So periodically, it is good and fitting that we say, you know, God willing.
Amen.
And we need to always have that mindset. John 6:38 is a statement that Jesus made that we're familiar with. Jesus said, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus never had his own plans. Think about that a minute. Jesus never had his own plans. In fact, John 10:30, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. Jesus came, he did what God, the Father, wanted him to do. That was his mission. He says, I do as the Father has commanded me. And there was a purpose. He says, so that the world may know that I love the Father. And then we have this prayer that Jesus prayed for us. He says, Jesus said, that they may all be one. That's us, church, that we would be united and one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, they also may be in us. Jesus wanted us to be one with each other and one with God, so that, same purpose, that the world may believe. Are you one with God? That's an odd thought. Unique thought. Am I one with God? And what that, if I say yes, what that means is I'm in God's will. Me and God are tight, and we don't deviate. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying one in a perfect sense, but being one with God means I'm about His will. I try to be full of Him. His Word is in me. I'm praying to Him. I'm meditating on Him. We're one. And that's, Scripture teaches us, we are to be one with God. That needs to be our goal. There are a lot of verses, and today's topic is about God's will. There are a lot of verses that talk about, that just kind of mention God's will. And I have them today in yellow. You'll notice them throughout the sermon. They'll keep popping up in yellow. We have this statement about David, a great statement about King David from Acts. It says, when he had removed him, talking about Saul, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart. And I love that. I think a lot of us do. It speaks about David being one who had a heart for God. And I think we're familiar with that and that idea. But look at the rest of that statement, that verse. God said, he's a man after his heart who will do all my will. Sometimes we may have a thought or a statement that, well, you know, I don't know that I'm, you know, exactly doing right, or this was right, or what I did was right, but God knows my heart. I mean, you know, I mean, God knows I love Him. And sometimes we'll use that to justify where we're really not surrendering to God. Well, God understands my heart. And remember, the man who was after God's heart, what that was about is he would do all God's will. Mark 3:35, another scripture about the will of God. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus said that. Sometimes people will say, you know, you'll come across a person, maybe a conversation, you've heard people say it. Maybe we've said it at a time when you were away from the church. And we'll say, the person might say, you know, I don't go to church. But I believe. I'm a Christian. I believe. I pray. And I try to do good. And we had a person who says that has the mindset that they are doing God's will, or that they are good with God, but that they are a Christian. But Scripture tells us, if you want to be the brother to Jesus or sister, if you want to be a Christian as we do, do the will of God. It's not my will. It's God's will. God's will is that Christians be together. And we are the church. It's not the building. It's not an organization. It's us. It's you. We are the church. And we're trying to do the will of God. 1 John 2:16. This was our scripture reading this morning. All that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. We understand the first part of this verse very well, I think. Verse 16, desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, pride of life. We are all human. We understand desires. All kinds of desires. Even desires that aren't sinful in and of themselves, they're just earthly. You have hobbies. You have things that interest you. You have things that you can put time and money and effort into that you enjoy, but they're of this world. And this scripture reminds us, church, don't let those things be your God and your God be your hobby. We have to keep God our God, and our hobbies and interests and extra our kids. Games and all these things that are just earthly, and they're okay, but we have to keep God, God. Those things are going to pass away. They're not eternal. It's one thing I love about church camp. Our kids didn't go this week and become better at a sport or an activity, and those things are fine. But our kids went this week and invested in eternal life, learning more and growing closer to God about doing His will. I love that. Matthew 7:21, Jesus, another statement about the will of God. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them," and this is striking to me. Jesus talking about people who, they were preaching or teaching in his name, they were casting out demons, doing mighty works. "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" The context here is about false teachers. The context in this passage is about those who appear religious, but they're not genuinely pursuing God's will. Church, we have to remember, it's not enough that we appear religious. Think about that. It's not enough. God didn't say, "I want y'all to act like you're religious. I want you to appear religious." But He wants us to do the will of God, the will of the Father. Matthew 6, earlier in this Sermon on the Mount, the same book, Matthew 6, 9. Jesus teaching His disciples how to pray. This is the Lord's Prayer. It's a model prayer. It's really wonderful. There's so much in it, but it's so brief. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." It starts out teaching us when we pray, you just acknowledge God who He is and remember who He is. He's holy. He's in heaven. "Your kingdom come." The very first request of this prayer is that God have His stuff. God, your kingdom come. That's the church. Your will be done. We have other requests in the prayer. You know, give us our daily bread. Forgive us. Lead us. But the first request in this, and a great statement, a great thought in our prayers is, "Your will be done." This is a Psalm 143:10. It says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground." I want to confess to you that I'm not boasting. I pray often for God to help me. I think as I've gotten older, I know more how much I need God's help. Amen. But I don't say that to boast. I say that to contrast it and confess. I don't pray enough that God would get His will. I don't start enough days saying, "God, I hope you get your way today. I hope you get your way in my life. I hope you get your way that the church is working for you today." And I know of two men that I, in our number, Jack Covenus and Jody Richardson, two men that I respect. And when I think about someone who has a heart for doing God's will every day, those two names come to my mind.
Amen.
God's will. May God's will be done. God, what do you want? Because it's about submission. Matthew 26:39. You talk about submission. This is submission. This is Jesus in the garden. Before He is to be crucified, He's praying. He knows what's coming. His spirit is willing. His body is weak. And Jesus prayed three times this prayer: "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." This is what we need to be praying. God, your will be done. It's not that we don't ask God. God says, ask, seek, find. God wants us to lay our requests before Him. But let us remember to be thinking and praying and seeking God's will. When we went to Tennessee, when you run I-40 out over to Nashville, there's a part of that stretch. You know, when I drive on the highway, I like it to be sparse. I like there to be, you know, maybe one car way in the distance and maybe one semi way back there that I'm leaving behind. And I mean, I like it to be open. And it's not that way. And so, but when you're going on I-40, as you get closer to Memphis, there's a stretch there, a number of miles, where all the semis, everything converges right there, evidently. I mean, everyone's there. Everybody. So it's two lanes, but if you're in the right lane, you're going well under the speed limit. Which sounds good, but if you're in a hurry, you know how you're trying to get somewhere. So that right lane, That's not a good lane. I don't like that one. The left lane is fierce. It's a little faster than the right lane, but it is ebb and flow. And when you're in that left lane, periodically you're backed up. You're trying to pass some person in the right lane who's trolling along about like Steve would be, and we're all, you know, but they're going, you know, almost. But anyway, you're in the left lane, and then periodically someone will come buzzing in this right lane right up to the top. You know, we're all trying to go around this trucker, and some yahoo will come buzzing in the right lane, and they're going to cut in. And I know this. I know better. I know better. But I tell you what, everything in my being, I just don't want to let them in. And so you're speeding up and you're braking, right? You're all doing it in the left lane. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So one time, this car that zoomed up there, and he did get in front of me, one car had a Jesus fish on the back. And that was a novel thing to me. I stopped and thought, you know, I had a couple quick thoughts like, come on now. Come on now. And then, but my second thought was, if that's my brother or sister, this was weird to me, but if that's my brother or just someone who is seeking Christ's will, right? I would be way more inclined to let them in. And yet, what should my attitude be for everyone? Right? What does Jesus teach us? What does Scripture teach us? Turn the other cheek. Scripture teaches us to yield, right? To serve. And I'm just sharing with you a spirit that's wrong, a humanness, which is my way. You get behind me and wait your turn. Jesus doesn't teach us that, does he, church? I finally quit doing that, by the way. I finally quit doing that. My point is, it's not easy to submit. It's not easy to submit. Wives, when you submit to your husbands, that's not easy. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now remember, Christ submitted to the Father. 1 Corinthians 11:3, I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. We're all submitting. It's not easy. Husbands, it's not easy to love your wives like Christ loved the church and put her needs before yours and serve her and give to her and honor her. It's not easy to submit. Imagine being a slave, and I mean a slave. You don't have your own freedom in the first century. And you're in the church at Ephesus, and an elder maybe reads a letter from the Apostle Paul, and here's part of that letter. Bondservants. And your ears perk up. Hey, that's me. Obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling. And you might stop there and think, well, hold on now, my earthly master is kind of a jerk a lot of times. And you're a slave. He says, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing, here's that phrase, the will of God from the heart. If you have a boss that is sometimes unreasonable or not right or not fair, what is the word of God? What's the will of God? The will of God, you submit and serve and honor like you would if that's Christ Jesus. Young people, if you have a teacher that, quote, doesn't like me, you know, you have a teacher that's unfair, unreasonable, singles you out, a professor, we submit. It's the will of Christ. We serve, we honor. This is God's will for us. And my point is, submission is not easy, is it? It's not easy. Because we're submitting to humans who are not perfect. I want us to get a look at two scriptural examples about, you know, doing the will of God above our will. Here's the first one. Back up here a second. In Ephesians. Hold on. We got to look at this. Romans 12:1. Sorry. This is here for a reason. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. That verse 1, church, this is what sounds like a good churchy type scripture. Okay? Right? It sounds spiritual. It sounds biblical. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. I mean, it just kind of sounds pleasant, but it's not. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. This scripture is about surrender. It's about submission. Sacrifice is submission. We sacrifice to the will of God. This verse is about when you want to tell someone off and you don't. When someone treats you like, you know, treats you wrongly and you don't retaliate. This is one where your spouse or maybe your parent says something that's out of line and you want to lash back and you don't. Submission. All right, here's one of the two examples. Ephesians 5:15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish but understand what the will of the Lord is. So this is about the will of the Lord. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. We live in a world that, as humans, life is hard sometimes. Life gets tough and we need something to help us. Now, we have the Almighty. We have His Son, our Mediator. We have the Spirit. As a Christian, you have the Spirit living in you. The world doesn't have that. And that's where drunkenness comes in and other things. And we understand that. Things that a person uses to deal with something in the moment. But God says, don't be filled. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't be filled with that in a drunken state, but be filled with the Spirit. This isn't speaking in tongues, laying on hands filled with the Spirit. This is full of God. If you want to know, young people, if you went to camp this week, stand up for a second. If you're in here, if you went to church camp this week, stand up. I don't know what happened in these kids' lives this week, but I trust this. They're full of God. They're full of God's Spirit. They're full of godliness. Thank you. Y'all can sit down. When you come back from a week at camp, you are full of God. Amen. And that's what we are to be. We're to be full of God's Word. We're to be full of His Spirit. As a Christian, His Spirit is living in us, wanting to reign in our lives. So, let's read on. Addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord. This is God's will. What we're doing here, worshiping, encouraging each other, it's God's will. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting. There's that word, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's not easy to submit. This is when someone else, maybe they're out of line. Maybe submitting is something you do, your spirit does, and your body doesn't want to. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, here's another example. This is the will of God. Your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor. This is a whatever it takes kind of verse. It's about doing the will of God, and it's about abstaining. The word abstain. We are called to abstain, church, from certain things. We are called to abstain. Now, this one references sexual immorality, and that tends to be more of a younger person's struggle from adolescence to maybe into your 40s. Tends to be more of a younger individual's struggle. But as you age, the devil's not done, is he? How about gossip? But there are other things. It's not going to hit us all the same. Lust, immodest dress, lying, adultery, greed, profanity. There are It's something for each of us. And God calls us to abstain. Someone might say, you know, preacher, I've been tempted by, you know, sexual immorality from a young age. I've just always been this, or I've always been that. And it may be same-sex attraction. Maybe a temptation. And we live in a culture that if you desire something, our culture says you should be able to have it. But our loving God says to abstain. And we are tempted differently. And what is desirable for you, you have to abstain from. That may not tempt me. Drunkenness doesn't tempt me. But other things do. And if drunkenness tempts you, I understand not that sin, but I understand temptation, and I understand abstaining. We have different lots in life. We have different crosses to bear and different things to abstain from, don't we? To the Christian who has same-sex attraction and abstains and honors God in that, they are glorifying God the same way. I would argue maybe even greater than many of us, because their cross to bear may be heavier. The same with someone with an addiction, and they struggle every day to stay clean. Their normal is different than my normal, right? And so we are abstaining from things, church, Christian, each one of us. Why? Out of honoring God's will. Because God, your will be done. Now, I want to close real quick. Doing God's will, the more we grow close to God, the more enjoyable it becomes. Jesus, when he was reaching out to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, the disciples came. They say, Jesus, you got to be hungry. You need some food. Jesus said, you don't understand. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. There are things that we do, helping at Monday night for the master, helping with this apple tree, teaching kids in Bible hour. The teens recently went and helped one of our members with their lawn work. They're mowing the lawn and cleaning up their yard. Doing God's will is a joyful thing. The more we grow as Christians, it will be the highlight of your week. Joy in God's will. I love this verse, and we'll leave with this. I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within my heart. We're going to sing a song. Because when we choose God's will, we're saying yes to God, no to me. And this is a good song about doing that. And I encourage you to take this with you. Apply this. Do something better in your life this week. Say yes to God and His will, and no to our own. So if you're here this morning, we'd love to help you any way we can. If there's someone that needs to give their life to Christ, we'd love to help you and see another child in the kingdom be born, if you will come while we stand and sing.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When the Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Lord, I give you all. You have filled my life until I overflow. All I have is yours to use in any way you choose. You are Lord of all, so how can I say no? I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When the yes.